Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. This Thursday evening, the 5th of May, and as always, it's a great pleasure to be in the company of the listeners of Radio Islam International, and obviously with one of the senior ulama of our country, Mawlana Ismail Saab. We have been profiling and speaking extensively of the life of Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sema, rahmatullahi alayhi, and I must say the week previously to that, when we were discussing Mawlana and him being on the torpedo, and the torpedo then him being on a ship, and the ship then being hit by a torpedo, and Mawlana thereafter going back, it was just fascinating to believe and to know someone from amongst the South African ulama and scholars were able to go through and have that experience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used him for the khidmat of deen in South Africa. With us, we have on air, with us live this evening, Mawlana Ismail Saab. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, jazakallah for taking out your time and joining us this evening. Obviously, you're also busy coming to the end of the year and all the jalsas, etc. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you abundantly, Mawlana.
Ameen, ya Rab, ameen, ya Rab.
Mawlana, we were speaking about the life of Mawlana Qasim Sema. We finished 3 programs already. And we were discussing with regards to Mawlana's being on the ship, coming back after studies. And we ended off at the place whereby Mawlana was thereafter went back to India because of the situation he was within the sea. Mawlana, want to carry on from that particular aspect of Mawlana, life of Mawlana Qasim?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم. If we just recap that Mawlana Sema rahimahullah had boarded the Tilawa ship, and that happened on a Friday. On the Saturday to Tuesday, they were on board the Tilawa comfortably with no issues, and then on Tuesday evening they were torpedoed. The Wednesday they were at sea on board the lifeboat, and at about 11 a.m. on Thursday they were rescued and they searched for more passengers. On Thursday evening, they began their journey back to Bombay, and about sunset on Friday, they reached Bombay. And Mawlana Sema rahimahullah said that the ship that they were on was not a passenger liner, but rather it was a battleship. So the return journey was quite quick, and alhamdulillah, they reached in a much shorter period of time. And he then mentioned that what had happened with the survivors is that the Muslim survivors were taken, and there were just a few, a handful of them, they were taken to the Sabu Siddiqui Musafir Khana, whilst the Hindu passengers were taken elsewhere for accommodation. Here at the Musafir Khana, alhamdulillah, they were given some clothes. Mawlana Sema Sahib actually remembered and said they were given, he was given a vest, a white calico trouser, and food was given to them in abundance, as long as they wanted to stay there. Mawlana, before I continue, I'm getting an echo.
Okay, I'm not too sure, Mawlana. Is perhaps, Mawlana, your Radio Islam on that side?
No, it's not. No. Not at all.
What you do, sorry. Mawlana, we take a quick ad break. We just see if we can sort out the echo and we carry on, inshallah.
Okay, jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah, Mawlana.
وطريق سهل وضاح لله الرحمن وآيا العلم الخالص مصباح لهداية من شاء هدايا وطريق سهل وضاح لله الرحمن وآيا العلم الخالص مصباح لهداية من شاء هدايا وطريق سهل وضاح لله الرحمن وآيا العلم الخالص مصباح لهداية من شاء هدايا وطريق سهل وضاح لله الرحمن وآيا العلم الخالص مصباح لهداية من شاء هدايا وطريق سهل وضاح لله الرحمن وآيا العلم الخالص مصباح لهداية من شاء هدايا وطريق سهل لهداية من شاء هدايا وطريق سهل وضاح لله الرحمن وآيا العلم الخالص مصباح لهداية من شاء هدايا وطريق سهل وضاح لله الرحمن وآيا العلم الخالص مصباح لهداية من شاء هدايا وطريق سهل وضاح لله الرحمن وآيا إن العلماء هم
You're listening to Ulama Profiles on Radio Islam International.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International, and we're just trying to see if Morana's line is a bit better. Morana, is that a bit better?
Alhamdulillah, it's quite clear. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah. Morana, you were making mention with regards to Morana returning and then being at the Musafir Khana.
Alhamdulillah, and then after Mawlana Sema Sahib said, I stayed there at the Musafir Khana for a few days, and I'm thinking in my mind that, look, I'd rather go back now to my madrasa and meet my satira. After all, I almost went to the other side. And so Mawlana sent a message, and a certain Mawlana, Mawlana Qasim Tayyib Sahib of NM, Lorenzo Marx, which is Maputo, known as Maputo today, he was also studying at that time at the Jamia Islamia, and he had come now to the Musafir Khana with some clothes, some money, and he assisted Mawlana Sema Sahib to travel back to Dabel. Alhamdulillah. And Mawlana Sema Sahib says that we boarded the train, the train to the Baroda train, actually, and this happened in the evening at about 8 o'clock. And we arrived the next morning at the station, and from there we boarded a bus to Dabel, which is about 3 miles away from that particular station. But the ajib part and the very, very warming part was we arrived to Dabel, Jamia Islamia Dabel, and it was about 10 o'clock in the morning. And at that time, classes are all in progress. But word spread very quickly that I reached, and everybody came out to meet me. Everybody. My
Allah,
who were my elders, the students were fine. Everybody came out of class and they wanted me to tell them what happened. You survived. So Alhamdulillah, I sat with them and I discussed it, and at length we sat together and we told everybody exactly from A to Z. Allahumma lak alhamdu wa lak ash-shukr.
And thereafter, Mawlana, after Mawlana's returning back to Dabel, would he then persist in studying, or would thereafter he want to return back to South Africa?
He wanted to return back to South Africa, but his teachers didn't allow him. But before I continue with that, I would want to tell you two, three matters that happened, actually, some amazing things that happened that Mawlana Sema had mentioned.
Sure, Mawlana.
He says that there was an ustad of his whose name was Mawlana Abdul Rahman Al-Amrohi Sahib, who was his ustad in his final year, who was the Sheikh al-Hadith, actually, who taught him Sahih al-Bukhari. He says that there was another alim whose name was Mawlana Hakim Abdul Ahad. And when he heard Mawlana Sema's story and relation of the incident, he was amazed. As he says that, you see, Mawlana Amrohi Sahib used to have a majlis, like we have today, Mufti Raza having a majlis, and you have other great asatira and ulama of our country having majalis.
Yeah.
So Mawlana Abdul Rahman Amrohi used to have a majlis as well. And this majlis used to take place, and Mawlana Abdul Hakim Ahad used to attend these majalis. And he says that a few days ago, he had went to visit Mawlana Amrohi Sahib. And this happened after the Isha Salah. And the Sheikh, Alhamdulillah, while he's giving his bayan and his discourse, he mentioned that right now people are having difficulty at sea, and most of them are in the process of drowning. So when he heard this incident from Mawlana Sema Sahib, he asked him the exact time, the date of the tragedy, and he then realized that it coincides exactly with the date and time that Mawlana Amrohi Sahib was narrating this incident. And when I heard this, my hair stood, And I remembered of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, who whilst the army was out at battle, and he said that, speaking out aloud and telling the army general that watch your back, and that's the meaning of the incident. And, having these visions definitely comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Undoubtedly, Maulana, it's something that really, as we progress with the life of Maulana Qasim rahmatullahi alayhi, it just gets more and more fascinating, intriguing, alhamdulillah. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahumma alhamd. There is one more incident that at this particular junction Maulana Sema Sahib had mentioned regarding the greatness and the auspiciousness of Maulana Amroi Sahib. I repeat, Maulana Amroi Sahib was his ustad of Bukhari Sharif, as well as he was in his 90s when he was teaching Maulana Sema Sahib. So obviously this is happening and he's well into his 90s. They used to call him Dada Sahib actually. So there is an alim by the name of Maulana Qasim Bayat of Springs. Maybe our listeners might know him. He narrated an incident which happened whilst he was in the presence of Maulana Amroi Sahib. He says that on an occasion, the teachers of Darulum Darbail were invited to a wedding somewhere out of Darbail in a place called Kulwar. So they all traveled by bus. And Maulana Bayat himself, who I repeat is from Springs, or was from Springs, he also was on this bus and they were on the way to the journey. And before reaching Kulwar, the bus switched off as a result of insufficient fuel. It was at a time when there was a shortage of fuel because of the war. And it was extremely difficult to obtain fuel at such short notice. Now they were on the road, they were stuck. Everyone was confused what to do and how do we go, do we walk, how far is it, will we manage? And Maulana Amroi Sahib told the driver, bring me a can of water. And the can of water was brought, he made a dua, he spittled into the water, and then he told the driver, put this water into the tank. The driver said, hey, Monsab, we can't do this. He looked at him again and told him, put this water into the tank. The driver, knowing fully well the consequences of doing such a reckless thing, he still complied at the insistence of Maulana Amroi Sahib, of course. And the driver, after doing this, thinking that, look, my old engine is going to be gone and nothing is going to happen. But, bihamdillahi, Allahumma lakal hamd, the engine sprang to life.
Subhanallah.
Ajeeb. It was unbelievable, really, really, really. And Maulana Bayat himself says, I was there and I witnessed this with my own very eyes.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah.
Allahumma lakal hamdu wa lakal shukr.
Amazing.
You asked the question earlier and you said, what did Maulana Sema Sahib do?
Yes.
Maulana Sema Sahib stayed a few days on campus and thereafter he wanted to go back. But on campus, not in Darbail and linked to the campus, there was a research study institution that was initialed by South African scholar himself, our late Maulana Muhammad Mia Sahib, the founder of Mia's Farm, the Waterfall Institute. He had initiated this and for publications to be written and for research studies to be done, so he funded it. And he sent a telegram from Johannesburg to Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Raza Sahib, who was the Nazim of the Majlis-e Ilmi, to employ Maulana as a staff in the Majlis-e Ilmi. So Maulana Sema Sahib took this opportunity and he went there. Even though his ustads told him that, look, stay here at the Jamia and teach, because we know your istidad is super, and we don't want you to go back. And even Maulana Badri Alam, who was one of his best and most favorite ustads, I told him that, no, stay here and teach my son as well. He wanted Maulana Sema Sahib to privately tutor his son. But with Mashura, with the Satida and with Maulana Badri Alam and everybody else, he had taken up this this post at the research center, which was actually at Simlak. And there, what had happened was he was given the duty to do the takhrij of Hazrat Shah Anwar Kashmiri's footnotes on the famous book called Athar al-Sunan, which is actually by Allama Nimwi rahimahullah. And it contains the ahadith which are basically according to the madhab of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. So the footnotes were written by Hazrat Allama Shah al-Kashmir rahimahullah, and Mullah Seman Sahib did the takhrij showing where all the adilla had come from, and he has finished the first volume in 1 year.
Subhanallah.
This was done under the tutelage and the supervision of Mawlana Hazrat Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah, who actually was one of the chief scholars at Majlis al-Ilmi at Simlak.
Subhanallah.
So this is what he had done for the year. Mawlana Sema Sahib said for that year, not being a married man, being a bachelor, he stayed there for the year, and he got an old rented apartment where he stayed. He prepared his own meals, and he used to buy roti from one Muslim lady. And now and then he would go to Jamia Islamiyah just to meet his asatira and his friends. Jamia Islamiyah was 3 kilometers from the Simlak Institute, which was linked to Darbel, of course, and he would take that walk. Sometimes I see students living in Newcastle, for example, or in Johannesburg, or in, and all we have to do is jump in our car to go to our institutions to meet our ulama. This was done by foot. Really, we need to take cognizance and try and make sure that we keep the link, especially if it's just a little bit of inconvenience or difficulty for us to go through. We should definitely take the responsibility to go and meet our satira regularly. And how much easier and better it is than just to go there, make a salah, smile, get a dua from them and continue. Allah give us all tawfiq and give our talaba as well.
Ameen, ameen. It's amazing, Allah, some of these sifat that made our scholars and our seniors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had really gave them the true understanding of what was required as a talib ilm, which obviously then showed in the latter part of their life, where they then used those sifat to serve the ummah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all students of the deen that same sifat and that qualities to be
Ameen,
able to
Ya Rab.
Do
Ameen,
the same khidmat as they did.
Mawlana, it is a reality. I've seen this, I mean, Darul Umma now for many, many years, from 84 till now, is many years, going on to 30 odd years. Mawlana, I've seen this over and over again. It is not the intelligent students that are used. I'm not saying the intelligent students are not used, but it is coupled with making ikram and being in the khidmat of the asatira that really enhances them and makes them shine out. You see them being used, you see the khidmah of being taken from them. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq to really fulfill them and to be part and do what our ulama have done. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, really.
Inshallah. Shukran, Mawlana. We can carry on, Mawlana.
Thereafter, actually, after he was there for a year, it had come to holiday time. So, being linked up with the madrasa, he had attached himself to some students who were from the Punjab area.
Right.
Which means that they have to travel to that direction. And Mawlana Sema Sahib, now being the holiday, he wanted to visit many ulama and see some, visit some qubur and visit some madaris. Remember, he was in Darbel, he'd never gone to Dioband, and he wanted to meet Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahimahullah, the founder of Tabligh. And like this, he wanted to do quite a few things, and doing it alone would be uncomfortable. So he latched on to some students who were traveling to Punjab.
Right.
And he made mashura with them, and they said they will all go to Nizamuddin first. And from there, Mawlana Sema Sahib, you would do what you have to, and we will go home. So they made this journey. And this journey was a far journey. It was a far journey. It was 1,000. Delhi is 1,000 miles from Darbel. That's almost 1,600, 1,700 kilometers. They undertook the journey, alhamdulillah. And on arriving at Nizamuddin, the group walked around asking directions to the Banglawali Masjid. And after they received directions, they walked on the directed footpath, but they missed the masjid and they walked a few kilometers ahead, probably past the famous Dargah.
The Dargah.
In any event, you know, Mawlana, I'm just adding one point to this.
Sure.
I once heard a Salafi, I'm invited in, we were out in Jamaat and we ended up being, we were on journey, so we were in Medina. And we're talking to them and telling them, look, whatever you're studying is good, but you've got to implement this and you've got to convey it. In that, he mentioned you Tablighi Jamaat. I said, yes, definitely, we're proud to be that. He woke up and he ran. So I went behind him and said, what is it? He said, no, our asatiza tell us that we mustn't even talk to you on. Because somehow or the other, we will be hoodwinked into your net. So I asked him, but listen, you're a man of akal, you're coming here, you're studying. So he said, okay, look, let me ask you a question. You people go there to Nizamuddin, seriously, this is exactly what he said. You people go there to Nizamuddin to worship a qabr. How can we want to be part of you? I said, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Who goes to? Ajib nonsense that is being put into their brains that we are going there to the dargah. Ajib, man. If this is shaitan, it is totally satanic. Allah guide us all and guide our scholars and give them the right information that we go there only to do deen work and to get advices from our elders. And, you know, we've been these people that go there. Sometimes they would come back. They won't even know this dargah 1.5 kilometer away. Because, I mean, that's not the object. However, Allah give us all guidance.
Ameen.
So, Mullah Sema Sahib and them had passed the Bangla Wali Masjid and then they came back. They were redirected. And then they had found, ajeebly enough, that in that area at that time it wasn't a big masjid like you see today, but it was a small place. And they found Maulana Ilyas, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas, rahimahullah, sitting under a tree.
Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd.
Subhanallah, ajeeb. They introduced themselves, and then they eagerly sat in his gathering, waiting to learn from his knowledge. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas immediately began speaking to them about the importance of tabligh and dawah, Islamic propagation amongst the Muslim community. So this is the reality, is that we have to go first to a Muslim community, because the Muslim community is in such disarray in terms of their fulfilling the commandments of Allah. So first we remind those at home, so that once they become an asset and they become a living example, those around us would automatically, inshallah, then become Muslim. Allah give us all tawfiq.
Ameen, ameen. Before we carry on, we're speaking at the moment on the life of Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sema Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and we have in studio with us, and we have with us on air, Mawlana Ismail Aku, the principal of Darul Uloom, Newcastle. Inshallah, we're speaking about that amazing aspect of the meeting of Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sema with Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Before we carry on, we just take a quick air break, and when we return, we will eagerly listen to Mawlana speaking about the life of Mawlana Sema. We're speaking about the life of Hazrat Mawlana Qasim Sema Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and his meeting with Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And really, respected listeners, to appreciate and to be able to understand the two giants that we are speaking, a person would have to know a little bit of history and how these two giants and scholars of Islam and the sons of Islam serve so diligently this great and this unique deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We are online at the moment with Mawlana Akusab Tamil Barakatuhum. Mawlana is the principal and the muhtameem of Darul Uloom Newcastle, and he's giving us his insight with regards to the life of Mawlana Qasim Sahib. Mawlana, you may carry on.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mawlana Sema Sahib, we asked him immediately, how was Mawlana Ilyas? How was his kalam? How was his everything? Because we always love Mawlana Ilyas Sahib, rahimahullah, as well, him being the founder and the son of the founder, being his father, Mawlana Ismail Sahib. Ala kulli hal, so he mentions and he says, you know, that Mawlana Ilyas Sahib, rahimahullah, had a stammer. But it never hindered his wisdom. His wisdom was amazing. He was telling them at that point, because they asked him for nasiha, and he told them that the greatest means of bringing back the Muslims to the original deen of Nabi Karim alayhi salam, which had gone out of the Muslims all over the world, was to adopt the method which was used by Nabi Karim alayhi salam to spread Islam. And this is by visiting the people individually and collectively in their homes, their working places, during Hajj season, every place you can find them, to get hold of them and to talk to them. You know, I'll stop here and tell you one thing.
Sure.
Even in South Africa, if you look at the old, when the work of Tabligh and Dawah was not in South Africa, before Haji Saab, or at the beginning when Haji Saab even had started, the madaris would be empty. The masajid would be empty. We had libraries, we had deen available, we had the masajid, but nobody would come. And yet, after people get involved with this effort of Dawah and Tabligh, how their hearts change to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I always say the real reason behind it is, a man when he goes out in khuruj, he starts talking about Allah. if you talk about Allah all the time, Allah loves you. And Allah Ta'ala will guide your progeny. Allah Ta'ala will guide those around you. So really, it's for truly our own benefit to go and do this effort of da'wah and tabligh. Mawlana Ilyas Rahimullah told them that even Hajj time, that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go out and do ta'wah. He would meet them everywhere. When the people from the Arabian Peninsula would come for Hajj, he would be there talking to them man to man, one on one. And this was something which we need to bring about in our lives, talking to people one on one. And Mawlana Sahib Rahimullah said that this is the way, the system, the Nabawi system. He also said that Mawlana Sahib's effort in this world was to strengthen the faith of the Muslims. He believed that if this was done, then all the injunctions of Islam would be put into practice and thereby strengthening the fabric of Islam. This in turn would lead to more learned ulama and hafaz, as well as more learning centers, and will also bring the reality of Islam into the hearts of people, causing places of worship to flow. This was said before it happened, and we can see it happening today. Subhanallah. The eagerness of worshipping the one Allah will be revived in all spheres of life, this through the effort of da'wah and tabligh. This was the crux of the message that Mawlana Ilyas Rahimullah had given them.
Subhanallah.
Then said, really ajib.
Really amazing, Mawlana. I'm in awe for what I'm listening to tonight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a true understanding of what Mawlana Qasim Sayyidina rahmatullah alayhi was, who he met, and who were the people he interacted with in his earlier years.
Allah, well, no doubt, that we, being with him for so many years, really appreciate and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity. With that, you know, you still feel the loss, without a doubt.
Undoubtedly. Mawlana, carry on further from there. What would be Mawlana Qasim Sayyidina rahmatullahi alayhi's way forward after meeting with Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullahi alayhi?
After meeting with Mawlana Ilyas rahimullahi, the group now went and visited the graveyard in Delhi, where Shah Waliullah rahimahullah is buried, and they visit a few other historical places built by the Mughal Muslim rulers. Being students and being excited and energetic, they visit a few places, and thereafter the group dispersed, and Mawlana Sema Sahib went his way and they went their way. So the point is, where did Mawlana Sema Sahib go?
Mm.
He proceeded to none other than the greatest alma mater, I would say, Deoband, the source of all.
Subhanallah.
So he went there to visit that place, because even though Dabil is, it's all linked to Deoband. Deoband is the asas. He was very, very eager to meet Mawlana Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib. But unfortunately, he says, this did not materialize, as Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib was being held prisoner by the British because of his active participation in the Quit India campaign. Subhanallah, our ulama didn't sit back and say, you go and do it. They were in the forefront. Yeah, he went to visit this great alim, and this great alim was in jail. Subhanallah.
Allah.
And not for anything, for holding up the deen, for standing up for what is correct. The Quit India campaign was a motion that was passed by the Congress Party during that time, urging the British government to hand over the governance of India to the people of India. But unfortunately, Mawlana Sema could not meet him, and then he went to visit all the other mazars of the ulama and the saints, like the mazars of Hazrat Mawlana Azad Ali, Hazrat Mawlana Uzair Ghul Sahib, Hazrat Mawlana Azhar Hussain Mia Sahib, and many others. He also visited the Madrasa library and spent a bit of time there, and he was also in awe of all of the large library and all the manuscripts, the handwritten manuscripts especially, that were there. Subhanallah. After he stayed at Deoband for a few days, Mawlana Sema Sahib then traveled alone by train to Lahore. Here he met a great Waliullah. He emphasized and said, what a great Waliullah, and a renowned alim in the name of Hazrat Mawlana Ahmad Ali Lahori Sahib.
Subhanallah.
He was the principal and also the founder of the Anjumani Himayatul Islam in Lahore. His great knowledge was about tafsir. He was a mufassir, you know, par excellence. He had published a commentary of the Holy Quran, giving logical links between every two verses. Subhanallah. Every two verses you got some kalam. And this was known as Rabatul Ayat. Mawlana Muhammad Ali Lahori Sahib conducted tafsir classes for the public, but he also had special tafsir classes for new graduates from all the madaris. Once they qualified and had time, then they would come and they would do tafsir by Mawlana Sahib. And Mullah Saima Said participated in these classes for a few days, or for those days that he remained at Lahore, he was in these classes. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Ajib, mashallah.
Lahore, he was known as Sheikh al-Tafsir, and to sit in the sabak like that, after meeting Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullahi alayhi, just imagine the spiritual ecstasy that Mawlana must have been experiencing.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma laka alhamd.
Laka alhamd. Subhanallah.
After this, Mawlana Saima Sahib proceeded to Ghat Hira. Ghat Hira is a village about 8 miles from Saharanpur. He specifically made his trip at the beginning of Ramadan to go to his former Tajweed teacher, whose name was Mawlana Qari Muhammad Yamin Sahib. He had made the arrangements that he will be there and he will do Muraja'ah. Mawlana Saima Sahib, subhanAllah, this is another jewel. During the course of his studies, if you remember in the beginning, he had memorized 9 ajza in South Africa he went. The 21 ajza, he didn't take out time 1 year or other time. He did it whilst he was studying. Mawlana Saima Sahib came out every time first, and with that, he became a hafiz of Quran, finished his Quran during the course of his years. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Ajib. And then what happened, he said that he wants to do Muraja'ah and Dor, so he went to his ustad and he sat in his majlis and he did the Dor during the month of Ramadan by the ustad. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Respected listeners, we're speaking about the life of Mawlana Qasim Saima rahmatullahi alayh. There's so much to learn and unpack. I would advise you download the podcast and see how is our interaction with Quran, how is our interaction with scholars. Each of these brings out the point where you and I can change our life and bring something more motivational in our life to be able to learn from the likes of Mawlana Qasim Saima rahmatullahi alayh.
Amen. Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah. Mawlana, you may carry on.
Mawlana Sahib, here before he leaves Ghat Hira, he spent the month of Ramadan there. Another amazing thing for us as ulama, as masses, as awam, as Muslims at large should learn, is that on Eid Day, now Eid Day came. So what they did was from Ghat Hira, they walked. Every member of the village, every Muslim of that village walked, together with the ulama, together with Mawlana Qasim Saima rahimahullah now, and they went to another town, another village, to do the Eid Salah there, so that the majma is a bigger one, and that they can meet everybody.
Subhanallah.
In every corner that there is a majlis, in one town there is three, look, we have big towns today, so we obviously sometimes it becomes inconvenient and the grounds can't take it. But if we can get a large, massive ground, and we have our ulama to have one majlis, and we take time to sit, to be there for a while, to meet everybody, subhanallah, this would be so wonderful. Allah give us tawfiq.
Ameen,
the Eid Salah day was performed at 10 o'clock, he says, and what happened was not only from Ghat Hira, but from all the surrounding villages, they all went and they made the Salah, the Eid Salah together. And they made it actually in a place called Chilkana. So all the small suburbs around, they got to Chilkana, they walked, and they walked for kilometers there. And then they got there, they read the Salah, and after the Salah, they returned back to Ghat Hira, also again by foot.
Subhanallah. Respected listeners, to us to appreciate it and realize how much is it sometimes to look at the bigger picture and to be able to learn from that is something perhaps we are oblivious in our own day-to-day life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.
Ameen.
Mawlana, we have about 5 minutes left before we conclude. You may carry on, Mawlana.
An even more amazing thing. After this, Mawlana Saima Sahib says he's thinking on his route and in mind that he wanted to meet the great Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Sahib.
Subhanallah.
Ajib. Who was the Sheikh Kamil of that time. You know, I went to visit this place because I wanted to go through these towns and these villages I wouldn't say to relive Mawlana Saima, but really in honor of Mawlana Saima, with him and talking about him and talking about his life. So I made the journey a few years back, and we went to Raipur. And when we got to Raipur, the guide who was there told us that all the big scholars used to come to Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Sahib. all the great scholars, even told me where Mawlana Ilyas Sahib, rahimahullah, used to sit when he used to come there. So Mawlana Sema Sahib wanted to go there, and alhamdulillah, the only problem was that there was no transportation. There was no vehicle that would take them from Gathira to Raipur. So they walked. He got a sati from Gathira to give him company, and this sati was a murid of Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Sahib. So they walked. And you know how long they walked? They walked for 2 full days.
Allah,
until they got to the village.
Alhamd.
Not 2 kilometers in the morning or 5 kilometers, which is a good thing, alhamdulillah, but 2 full days. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Really, the ulama say even this Badr Jamaat that we have today, they have the biggest barakah. And one of the biggest barakah about it is you exerting yourself for the sake of Allah. You are doing something for the sake of Allah. Here for 2 full days they were on foot, and alhamdulillah they reached. But unfortunately again, after 2 full days of walking, to their great disappointment, they were informed that Mawlana Raipuri Sahib had left for Saharanpur. So it's unfortunate. But in the meanwhile, they sat in the Khanqah and they met Mawlana Abdul Aziz Sahib, who was one of the senior murids of Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Sahib. And he told him a few amazing things as well, because now they were in the majlis. And generally you'll find that the murid will talk about his ustad and his sheikh. So Mawlana Abdul Aziz, he was telling them about the ustad and about the sheikh. And he says that apart from many, many scholars who came and took counsel by him, many, many murids that he had, that one of his followers had been granted a special gift of Kashful Qubur. Now, this is not the Sheikh himself. The Sheikh himself was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him much higher status. But one of his followers had been given a gift of Kashful Qubur. And this young man, even after stern and severe warning from Mawlana Raipuri Sahib not to abuse this gift and not to reveal anything that he saw, he did not take heed. And when he would see something, he would tell people that, look, this person is suffering in his grave, and this person is this, and this person is that. So he was told again that, look, you should not do this. And after being told numerous times, he was banished. Mawlana Raipuri Sahib told him, look, you, I want you being in my majlis no more. And this man had then, after being kicked out from the majlis, he had become mentally deranged.
Allah.
And he began roaming the streets like a mad person. And this transformation in mysticism is called majdub, actually. When a person's mind is juriba anhu, you know, it's taken away from him.
Yes.
And this person's gift is juriba anhu, is taken away from him. May Allah Ta'ala save us all and grant us the tawfiq of understanding. Mawlana Sema Sahib, when asked, when he came to this point, I asked him a few questions. And I remember making notes about them, about Qayyul Ard and Kashful Qubur. And Mawlana Sema had mentioned that what it is actually that certain people become friends of Allah because of their extreme dedication, piety, and abundant remembrance of Allah. These people are known as saints and awliya of Allah. And as such, Allah honors them with miraculous qualities. Of these miraculous qualities, you'll find that they have Qayyul Ard, which means the wrapping of the earth. That means a man who is blessed with this gift is capable of traveling the earth in a matter of moments and with just a few steps. Another such miracle is Kashful Qubur. This is when a person possesses the ability to see what's happening to the inmates of the grave. This doesn't happen to me and you. This happens to people who are extraordinary. And the reality is that you would not know who it happens to, because the true people, that they have the insight and they know, they would never, never expose themselves and never, never speak about it, because they are the true friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us all tawfiq to really understand this.
Ameen. Well, just a quick recap before we close up. We had a fascinating, if any of the ulama and the scholars are listening, if you could just appreciate, Mawlana on his return back, came back to Bombay, where he was in the company of great scholars and the tutorship of Yusuf bin Nori, Allama Kashmiri rahimahullah. He came to Nizamuddin, where he met Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas rahmatullahi alayh. He wanted to meet Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Madani, but due to circumstances was unable to. And he met some of the people that were in the time of Mawlana Raipuri rahmatullahi alayh, after walking for 2 full days. And this, if you could just know the personalities that we're speaking about, we would be able to understand in which era was Mawlana Qasim Sema rahmatullahi alayh. Maulana, your final words before we close?
Thinking whether we should just finish an incident of Maulana Abdulaziz Sahib.
We can do that, Maulana.
And then what we do is that the amazing part is that Maulana Sema Sahib, on his return journey, he goes back and meets Maulana Ilyas, but we'll discuss that next week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
What we'll finish up this week with is that the scholar, the murid of Maulana Raipuri Sahib at Raipur, who was telling them about the Sheikh, had went on to tell them that Maulana Raipuri Sahib had two renowned scholars of very high caliber. One of them was Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Sahib, and the other was I'm looking at the notes, could not remember his name. But it was common talk that this scholar was most superior, and he most likely would be the successor of Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Sahib. In any event, the point is that this didn't materialize. And whilst they were on journey, they were astonished at one time that what had happened was on one of the days, Maulana Abdul Qadir Sahib and his colleagues had went for a walk. It was late afternoon when suddenly in a matter of minutes they reached another village which was actually many miles away, and they had realized that Tayyul Ard had taken place.
SubhanAllah.
So this Maulana Sema Sahib had seen this, had physically lived it. And Maulana Sema Sahib was a man who was a very spiritual man, a man of vicar, a man of adhkar. Many a time we would ask him that we must take bayah to him, and he would say no, because you must study now, and bayah is for another time. And he always being humble to say, no, I'm not the sheikh. Yet he was the biggest of shuyukh.
Ajib.
Maulana Sema Sahib says after 2 days here, he decided to go and meet Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri at Saharanpur. And to get there, they had to first walk 2 miles to the national roads in order to hitch a lift. And after a little while, a military lorry stopped and offered them a lift. Maulana Sema Sahib's colleague spoke to the driver to give them a lift, actually to give Maulana Sema a lift, because he himself wanted to go back. And then his companion went back to Gathira, and Maulana Sema Sahib accepted the lift to Saharanpur. Here he spent the night in the local masjid, and the following morning went to the madrasa, Mazahirul Uloom, which is famous, where he was fortunate enough to meet Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Sahib.
SubhanAllah.
And Alhamdulillah. And guess where he met him? He met him at the residence of Hazrat Maulana Zakariya Sahib.
Allahu Akbar.
Now what more must we say of these great luminaries? Maulana Zakariya Sahib was still a young man at the time, and Maulana Sema Sahib was fortunate to be present in his Darse Hadith, in Maulana Zakariya's Darse Hadith. First in Tafsir with the greatest of Mufassirs, here in Hadith in the greatest of Ulama. Maulana Sema Sahib stayed here for another 2 days, learning whatever he could from this great saint, and then he wanted to go back to Nizamuddin and go back to Delhi. So after all these experiences, Maulana Sema Sahib again wanted to become a murid of Maulana Ilyas Sahib, seeing all the Ulama. Meeting them all, meeting Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri, meeting the greatest of Mufassirs, he wanted to take bay'ah by Maulana Ilyas Rahimahullah. So he goes back. And we'll discuss this, inshallah, next week.
Jazakallah khairan, Maulana, once again for an amazing and a superb program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the reality, inshallah.
Ameen, 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 ya Rabbi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Respected listeners, this was just an amazing hour speaking about the life of Maulana Qasim Sema rahimahullah. We need a bit of time to absorb what has been said today, and inshallah next week we will further on regarding the life of Maulana Qasim Sahib rahmatullahi alayh.